Welcome to the monthly Three Edge View from the Edge for December 2025. I'm Fritz Foltz, the Chief Investment Strategist here at Three Edge, and joining me here, as he does every month, Eric Biegelhuizen, Director of Investment Research, Deputy Chief Investment Officer here at Three Edge Asset Management. And as we do each month, Eric is going to provide our most recent outlook for the global capital markets, and that's based on our proprietary research model. I have a lot to cover today, so let's get started. As we make our way through the final weeks of 2025, investors are focused on next week's meeting of the Federal Reserve's Federal Open Market Committee. And certainly the consensus on Wall Street now seems to have settled into that fact that the Fed will indeed lower interest rates by a quarter point next week. But of course, after the announcement, investors will focus on Jay Powell's press conference to see if he'll provide any hints about the outlook for the economy and inflation and the chances for additional interest rate cuts in 26. Probably safe to say that Chair Powell will continue to stress that the Fed is data dependent. However, they're also still playing catch up in terms of economic data since coming out of the recent government shutdown, and it's certainly more difficult to be data dependent without the data. One interesting development in November, which Eric is going to cover more greater detail, is just the performance of both commodities and gold. They had a very strong month in November, and Eric will also cover the fact that we had a little bit of a U.S. equity market sell-off there in the middle of the month, but recovered from that. So with that as the backdrop, let me bring Eric in here, and as we do, Eric will go over our three-edge asset class matrix. So Eric, what are we seeing in terms of the matrix in here in December?
Yeah, thanks, Fritz. Not too much movement here, but a little bit, probably a little bit more than we've seen. Generally, you're seeing equities in that mixed to positive camp, broadly speaking. We see India moving up just a little tick, and also liking hard assets as we have for many months now. So as you noted, you know, it was a volatile September and October were both big up months, and markets took a bit of a breather in November with a little bit of volatility, but finishing somewhat neutral for the month. So a bit of a pause, but optimistic here as we head into December.
All right, great. All right, so let's go through the model research for the outlook for the various asset classes. Beginning with U.S. equities, what are we seeing here in the last few weeks of 2025 heading into next year?
Yeah, well, we've generally maintained our mixed to positive outlook for U.S. equities. You know, as we've said for quite some time, U.S. equities remain significantly overvalued by our measure, with one indicator that we look at and place quite a bit of emphasis on is the price to sales ratio that reached an all-time high of 3.5 at the end of October. And that's going back 150 years looking at that. So, but at the same time, as we've noted for some time, you know, valuation measures are not a tactical timing instrument, and overvalued markets can become even more overvalued before adjusting back to fair value. You know, for the time being, U.S. equities continue to receive support from investors that have grown accustomed to this buying the dip mentality, you know, but these rallies so far have failed to reach the prior market high that was set on October 29th. So it will be telling, you know, the next time this level is hit, whether the market breaks through to the upside or if that gets treated as a resistance level. So it's something we'll be watching very closely.
All right, great. So let's shift outside the U.S., beginning with European equities. They've had a really strong 2025, despite all the challenges you hear about in the European Union. So what is the model saying as we head into 2026?
Yeah, I think a lot of those risks are front and center in the research we're doing. You know, they maintain that mixed to slightly negative outlook from our research. You know, you're right that the equities have done well at different points of the year, but the yield curve measure that we look at is not sufficiently steep to be indicative of the potential for growth in that region. So I think if we saw some monetary stimulative measures from the European Central Bank, that might be a catalyst for things to really take off in our research, but just not there currently.
All right, great. So let's shift over to Asia and Japanese equities. Japan certainly receiving a lot of interest among investors recently. So what is the model showing us?
Yeah, well, we maintain our favorable outlook on Japanese equities, though with a note of caution. that we'll touch on. You know, we mentioned last month, the new prime minister has shown a desire for increased fiscal stimulus for the Japanese economy, and that should be helpful for their economy's growth prospects and therefore their equity markets. But the note of caution is the anticipation of the BOJ, that is the Bank of Japan, that's Japan's central bank, to increase short-term interest rates in this month, which, you know, when taken in concert with a short-term interest rate cut here in the U.S., which is on the table, as you referenced earlier, that might make the popular yen carry trade less profitable or outright unprofitable. You know, and so that could, in theory, lead to the unwinding of leverage across the global financial system. This is not just a Japan issue, and that could be a catalyst for a much larger global market sell-off. So that's certainly a non-zero risk we're paying attention to.
All right, great. So let's shift now over to the emerging markets, including Chinese equities. What is our outlook there, you know, at least based on their model research?
Yeah, we maintain that positive outlook for emerging market equities broadly and China more specifically. You know, we've seen that weak dollar continue to be a tailwind for the region. With the U.S. and China's trade negotiations at least resolved here nearer term, both countries can continue to operate while continuing to look elsewhere for new deals with other trade partners.
All right. And then lastly, let's touch on India equities. As you mentioned at the outset, it looks like the attractiveness there has increased slightly. What are we seeing specifically?
Yeah, Indian equities have moved into a more positive outlook. U.S. and India trade negotiations have yet to be resolved, but there's been some signs that India may stop or delay its purchases of cheaper Russian oil as part of the deal, which I think is going to be helpful for the U.S. and India overall. You know, Indian equities are still overvalued by our measure, but the yield curve that we calculate for the region does continue to be positively sloped, and that is indicative for the potential for future economic growth. We've also seen the Reserve Bank of India come out with an interest rate cut, which will, in theory, also be potentially helpful for the region.
All right, great. So we'll shift away from the equity markets now and look at the bond market and the current interest rate environment, starting with U.S. Treasuries. What are we seeing there?
Yeah, well, the outlook for inflation is quite low and well-behaved when you're looking at the break-even inflation rates that the market's anticipating. But it may prove to be much higher than the market is anticipating due to, you know, take your pick, you know, longer-term impacts of U.S. imposed tariffs, the increasing debt levels, the increasing debt service levels, weakening dollar. So if that's the case, that could be a concern for rising rates. The potential for these longer-term yields even exists alongside the potential of a Fed rate cut at the shorter end. So, you know, taking all these factors together, we just still continue to want to support concentrating one's fixed income investments at the shorter term maturities.
Yeah, I'm nervous about inflation. I don't think I think inflation is going to be more of a problem for longer than people are taking into account. We'll see, of course, but I just get that feeling. Anyway, corporate bonds or the credit markets, what's the model seeing there?
Yeah, we've noted this for some time. Corporate credit spreads, they're still at those historic tight levels. So the additional yield that one would be compensated over and above risk-free is not necessarily worth the risk, given the rising risks of stagflation or economic slowdown that could manifest, coupled with the potential for, you know, rising inflation, you know, that could lead to some spread widening. So we're attending to avoid credit still for the time being.
Right. All right, great. So lastly, let's look at the asset classes referred to as hard assets or real assets, as opposed to financial assets, and that would include both gold and commodities, which had a really good month of November, actually. So what are we seeing now looking forward for gold and commodities?
Yeah, so with respect to gold, you know, the tariff measures that the U.S. has proposed, along with the threat of sanctions, you know, that's encouraged, you know, global investors and central banks to seek alternatives to U.S. dollar-based assets. We've noted this for several months now. Gold is priced in U.S. dollars, so a rising gold price is really a reflection of weakening demand for U.S. dollars. Investors' concerns over geopolitical conflicts, even with our friendly nations, that's helped also to boost the attractiveness of gold as this haven asset. You know, we've also noted in prior months, you know, gold continues to make these all-time new highs, and there comes this increased risk of consolidation or profit-taking, and maybe we already saw some of that when we saw gold with its recent pullback down to that 4,000 level. We're already back up from those levels. You know, all that said, over the longer term, gold may continue its upward move as weak job numbers may encourage the Fed to continue that monetary easing that many are anticipating starting or continuing this month, you know, to combat that side of their dual mandate. So overall, you know, gold provides that nice hedge. It's a volatility dampener, a great diversifier against traditional assets like equities and bonds.
Not a bad asset class to have been long in 2025. I think by the end of November, it was up just about 60%. Yeah. And not 1.6, but 6.0, which is just crazy. Anyway, let's shift gears then and take a look at the commodities market. Also had a good November. What are we seeing there?
Yeah, like gold, you know, weakening demand for U.S. dollars may also benefit commodities. You know, with the U.S.-China trade relationship at least dealt with in the near term, like we referenced, you know, the window opens now for stimulative demand from China, and that could be a boost to commodities more broadly. So still a positive outlook.
All right, Eric, that covers all our bases. That is a wrap. Thank you very much. That'll do it for this month's Three Edge View from the Edge. Eric and I will be back again in early January 2026 with another edition of the View from Edge. If you'd like a hard copy of our full View from the Edge newsletter, you'll find that on our website at 3edgeam.com and our entire library of video content always available on our 3Edge YouTube channel. If you think someone might benefit from our videos, please feel free to share them. And if you appreciate these weekly videos and you would be so kind as to subscribe to our 3Edge YouTube channel, we would be appreciative of that as well. So, on behalf of Eric and everyone here at 3Edge, we wish everyone all the best during the holiday season and a very happy new year. And most importantly, we want to thank you for listening.
This commentary is intended for information purposes only and does not constitute an offer to sell or a solicitation of an offer to buy securities. The opinions expressed in View from the Edge are those of Mr. Foltz and Mr. Beagleisen and are subject to change without notice in reaction to shifting market conditions. This commentary is not intended to provide personal investment advice and does not take into account the unique investment objectives and financial situation of the listener. Investors should only seek investment advice from their financial advisor. The observations include information from sources that 3Edge believes to be reliable, but the accuracy of such information cannot be guaranteed. Investments, including common stocks, fixed income, commodities, and ETFs, all involve a risk of loss that investors should be prepared to bear.